Hi, this is Sheila. Each week I will present words of wisdom, and I hope you enjoy them.
Hey, listen up, Body Beyond Radio Nation. I want you to tune in right here, right now on the station of the nation. It's the Blind and Beyond radio show every Sunday from 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. Wake up! You already know what time it is. Let's make it do what it do. You know!
Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight by Ken Brandt, is a gloriously positive book that is fun to read, listen to, or give as a gift.
I love all the adventures.
It is full of fun stories and humor.
So positive and upbeat.
I love all the adventures.
Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight by Ken Brandt, has received great book reviews and is available at all major online sites that sell books, ebooks, or audiobooks.
The 37th Annual CSUN Assistive Technology Conference, hosted by the California State University North Ridges Center on Disabilities, will be back in person in 2022. Join us at the Premier Forum on Technology and Persons with Disabilities, March 14th through the 18th at the Anaheim Marriott in California. Don't miss out on the ultimate community experience with numerous educational sessions, special featured presentations, interactive pre-conference workshops, and more. Our large exhibit hall, open March 16th through the 18th, is free to the public and filled with companies offering products and services designed to promote inclusion for people with disabilities. For more information and registration details, visit our website at csun.at/conference.
For Lachi, winning means using her voice to bring hope to others with vision loss. She's not alone. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is committed to funding research to end blinding retinal diseases. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Learn more at fightingblindness.org.
When you call our advertisers, please remember to mention that you heard it on the Blind and Beyond radio show.
Live from the Spectrum Power Studios, from Orlando, Florida.
There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know.
This is the Blind and Beyond radio show with executive producer Lynn Golder. And now, here's your host, Michael.
Welcome. Welcome to your show. That's right, the hottest show on the radio. Welcome to your show. This is the Blind and Beyond radio show. This is your host, Michael. Hope you can call in. The phone number to call in is 407-894-1680. That's 407-894-1680. Before we get started today, let me introduce you to the players. To my left, my beautiful wife. And let me tell you something. Our dog, Miss Green, is very sick, and she's been, well, what can I say, unbelievable. The nurse, the caregiver to Miss Green, stays up all night with her. Here's my co-host, Lynn Golder.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the February 6th edition of the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. I'm glad to be sitting here next to the left of Michael. Thank you for joining us.
And for those folks who don't know, we're live from Orlando, Florida. But in his home, our co-host, our buddy, his name is Gary Sinclair, co-host. Gary Sinclair, are you there, Gary?
I sure am, Michael. Welcome back, everybody, to Blind and Beyond Radio Show.
And in the studios, we have to have a studio. And since this is a live radio show, that's right, heard all over, I guess you'd say the world, because we have callers call in from all over, not just United States and Canada, but all over. In the studios, in Orlando studios, Chris Shaw, are you there?
Ah-cha-cha-cha-cha, how you doing?
Oh, that's our producer, that's our engineer, that's the host, too. Well, I call him the hot one from Chicago.
Ooh-wee, and it's burning, too. Mike, Lynn, Gary, how you doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing.
Wait till you get my age.
Okay, wait till you get your age. Huh? Listen, I passed your age a long, long, long time ago. Long time ago. I get kids older than you. Hey, folks, for those folks who are just tuning in, turning this dial and say, what is this radio show? Well, we sit with a bridge between the sighted community and the blind community. Hope you like the show today. We'll try to entertain you. We'll try to inform you. And we'll hope we get to know you. And maybe you'll call in and we'll get to know us. We'll get to know you. Call us, 407-894-1680. This is a live radio show. Before we get started, I got a couple shout-outs I got to give. First, this is beautiful. This is Sid and his beautiful wife. They've been married 44 years. Would you believe that? Hey, my name is Linda. Linda. Linda and Sid, married 44 years.
Happy anniversary to Sid and Linda.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Somebody new. I see it in your eyes, Lord, it's no surprise what he can do for you. But when I look back, baby.
Okay, Chris.
When I look back to what we had.
Anyway, happy anniversary to Sid and Linda.
And I have some shout outs too. I'd like to give a shout out to Christine Belt down there in Jupiter, Florida. Christine, speedy recovery, and we're happy that your surgery, your procedure went well. I'd also like to give a shout out. We got some sad news over the weekend to our friend Liz Alexa up there in upstate Pennsylvania, and we're praying for her partner, Remy. Remy,
not doing too good.
No, he got news that he has terminal cancer. So our prayers to Liz and to Remy. And
our prayers are with you.
Right. And,
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also I wanted to remind everybody that February is National Age-Related Macular Degeneration. How's that for a mouthful? And Low Vision Awareness Month. And it turns out that it's actually, it's abbreviated as AMD. Age-Related Macular Degeneration is the number one cause of severe vision loss in the United States, adults over age 60.
And, What is it called again?
Age-related macular degeneration, and especially with baby boomers such as myself, adults over age 60. So just get your eyes checked, okay?
And it's abbreviated.
And also, I have one.
It's abbreviated AMD.
AMD. AMD.
And how you say the name again?
Macular degeneration, but age-related, AMD.
Age-related macular degeneration. Okay, I just spoke in tongues with you. Okay, all right, just checking.
Yeah, and I also wanted to remind everybody, we haven't talked about it lately, but every Thursday you can find upcoming show highlights on our website, and the link is just called Upcoming Show Highlights. Just click on it. You'll know what's going to be on a few days later. And also on our Facebook page, Blind and Beyond Radio Show. Every Thursday, we post the show highlights.
Yeah, check out the show on blindandbeyondradioshow.org. That's right. That's our website, blindandbeyondradioshow.org. And by the way, if you missed about the 300 shows that are, we're live, and when we go off the air for the next few hours after the show's over, we usually archive it and save it. And we save now, about 300 of them are saved. We missed a few because of hurricanes or something like that. But the bottom line is you can archive, we archive most of them. So they're on our webpage, blindandbeyondradioshow.org. Hey, Gary, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When you went blind, what was your first reaction? I mean, did you know where to go, what to do when you went blind?
No, I did not know anything about blindness. I found out I was going blind in the Navy. They sent me from Puerto Rico to Bethesda Naval Hospital, and because I couldn't see properly, I couldn't see to drive at night and didn't know what was going on, and they didn't have an eye doctor in Puerto Rico that could tell me what was going on, so they sent me to Bethesda, and with the 15 minutes, they told me I was getting out of the Navy, and I knew nothing of where to go, what to do, or anything. And how
so
to
when
live.
You came back to Orlando, living in Orlando? Gary, you were living in Orlando?
Yes, yes, yeah.
When you came back to Orlando...
I got out, and fortunately, I had a mother-in-law that was very much interested in what was going on and checked out different things about retinitis pigmentosa, which I have. And she came up with a group. It was retinitis pigmentosa. I'm sorry, retinitis pigmentosa little club that they had here in Orlando Winter Park. And it was a group of people, that's all they had is retinitis pigmentosa, and you'd go there, it was once a month, and you sat down and talked about it, they had guest speakers come in and things like that, but that's how I started learning, fortunately, that they had that little club going, and then from there on I found out about a couple other things, but I really didn't want to get involved with that. I was still mad and confused and denial still, you know, that because RP, when I was at first with it, that you have quite a bit of vision. You start to lose your vision and you will go completely blind eventually. Well, I didn't want to accept that. I said, you know, to myself, I can see. There's nothing wrong with me. I was still driving, in fact. And I got into an accident and went through a four-way stop because I couldn't see properly. So that ended my driving, and
Gary, I got to interrupt you. Gary, I got to interrupt you. Is that group in Winter Park still there?
I have no idea. I have no idea if it's still there anymore. In fact, it was really funny. One of the guys that was in the organization, his name was Worth Dalton, and believe it or not, he was a golfer and lived on a golf course, and he was totally blind. And believe it or not, he actually has shot a hole in one. He's a professional golfer today who has been blind. And I wish I could get a hold of him again. But
so, let me ask you a question. From the time you went blind to the time you found, I know you went to the lighthouse. How long was it from the time you went blind to you went to the lighthouse? How long?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Probably another year, maybe.
So for a year, you didn't know about them. So for a year, you didn't know about lighthouse.
Well, yeah. I didn't know about lighthouse, but the word had gotten back to me about lighthouse. And I'll explain that if you want. I think we're about due to go to our first break, Michael. So I can come back on and continue a little bit.
No, not yet. We're not ready yet. Not ready yet. No.
Okay. All right. So my wife worked at the bank. Downtown Orlando, and she used to go across the road for a little breakfast in the morning for a lot of people from the bank used to go to this little restaurant across the road and have coffee and donuts or whatever. And she happened to be sitting down with a lady that she said she was
A lot of people, if they didn't know each other at first, they, you know, where you work? I work in the bank. This other lady says, well, I'm an administrator for this place called Center for Independent Technology and Education. That was the blind school, which is now known as Lighthouse. It was called Sight back then.
And that's how you found. That's how you found out through your wife.
Yeah, through my wife. She had found out sitting having breakfast with the administrator, and she came home all happy. Oh man, you got a place where you could go, and it's a blind school. I ain't going to no blind school. I ain't doing that. I ain't blind. There's nothing wrong with my eyes.
So at the time, you could still see something.
Yeah, I could see. I could see something at the time. But
that
I sure,
Gary, that was back.
What year
in
was that?
Back, that was back in 1982.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Were there a lot of members? I mean, how many members do you think were there at the time?
I'll tell you what. I think there was probably maybe 8 or 9.
Oh my goodness!
And if I recall, they were mostly blacks with macular degeneration.
We were just talking about.
Yeah. Yep. And in fact, it was really funny because one of the ladies that she was really old. She must have been in close to 90. And she was born back in the 1800s. You know,
wow.
So that goes back a ways. Yeah. And she was really nice. But yeah, and the school was, I was class of 18. And I don't know how many, in hundreds are now, but
now look at that.
Lighthouse
in Orlando went from a small little nothing thing, like you said, 18, 20 people,
mm-hmm.
to hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still miss, we still in Orlando miss out thousands because there's thousands of people in Orlando not taking care of themselves. They could be going to a Lighthouse, but people don't go in. They don't know of it.
No.
And that's why
no.
this show, too. This show is heard. You can hear the show all over the world. All over this country, all over Canada, and people can hear it. A lot of times they don't call in. A lot of times they don't address it. They just sit there and listen. And it'd be a shame sometimes. We'd love to hear from you. That's what the show is all about.
Yeah.
You know,
hey,
when
Michael.
You call in at this show, it helps this show. It makes this show. We're here to entertain you, but guess what? You can entertain us by calling in. 407-894-1680. Now it's time to go to break. We're on a break. You listen to the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. Don't go away. You're listening to the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you blind or visually impaired or have a loved one who is? Our friends at Lighthouse Central Florida offer educational and employment training that teach independence and empower Central Floridians of all ages beyond the restrictions of vision loss. Visit lighthousecfl.org or call 407-898-2483.
Foundation fighting blindness. Together we're fighting. Together we're winning.
We're driving the research to find the cures for blinding retinal diseases.
Foundation fighting blindness.
Hi, this is Sheila. Each week I will present words of wisdom, and I hope you enjoy them.
Support for Blind and Beyond Radio comes from Lighthouse Central Florida, empowering the lives of children and adults living with vision loss and blindness. Lighthouse helps individuals who are visually impaired or blind safely utilize the internet using assistive technology, protecting them from cybercrime. For more information, visit lighthousecfl.org/access technology.
At Spectrum, we want all of our customers to have the features they need to get the most out of our services. That's why the Spectrum Access app is there for everyone that enjoys TV. The Spectrum Access app offers audio description to describe the action between the dialogue for hundreds of our on-demand movies and shows. Using the Spectrum Access app is easy. Open it, choose your favorite title, download its audio track, point your mobile device at your TV, and press the sync button. No matter where you enter the movie or show, the app syncs to your screen using the microphone on your device. You can get the Spectrum Access app on any platform. Plus, you don't have to be a Spectrum customer to use it. It's free for everyone, even non-Spectrum customers. Download to instantly enjoy. For additional accessibility support, contact SpectrumAccess at charter.com or visit spectrum.net/accessibility.
Support for Blind to Beyond Radio comes from Lighthouse Central Florida, empowering the lives of children and adults living with vision loss and blindness. Lighthouse helps individuals who are visually impaired or blind safely utilize the internet using assistive technology, protecting them from cybercrime. For more information, visit lighthousecfl.org/access technology.
Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight by Ken Brandt is a gloriously positive book that is fun to read, listen to, or give as a gift.
I love all the adventures.
It is full of fun stories and humor.
So positive and upbeat.
I love all the adventures.
Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight by Ken Brandt has received great book reviews and is available at all major online sites that sell books, ebooks, or audiobooks.
Whenever you talk to our sponsors, don't forget to mention that you heard it on the Blind and Beyond Radio Show.
Live from the Spectrum Power Studios.
We are back. Oh, yeah, we're definitely back. This is the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. This is your host, Michael. And I forgot to tell you all, listen to this one. Forgot to tell you. Lynn and I found we have a cousin. Listen to this. We didn't know it. Didn't know it until last week. We did not know that we had a cousin who's blind. That's right. His name is Barry. He's from Austin, Texas. Don't want to give his last name. Spencer say Barry A. I don't know if he wants to give his
Barry
last name.
A. Well, Barry A. Let us know next time.
If he calls in, if he wants to call in, which we hope he does.
Hi, one cousin of my, Barry.
Yeah, hello, cousin Barry, if you're listening. Hope you listen to the show. Mm-hmm. His phone number, if he calls in, he can tell his story.
Oh, I thought you were going to give his phone number.
I'm going to give our phone. I'm going to call in. Yeah, 407-894-1680. 407-894-1680.
And Lynn? Just in case his parents are listening, Richard and Eileen, hello out there in Houston. Okay, well, it's time to go to our first guest for the evening, and we'd like to welcome back Ken Brandt. And if you don't know by now, Ken is the author of Positive Vision. You just heard his commercial on the air, and Ken is calling in. He's zooming in all the way from Melbourne, Australia.
Australia.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back, Ken.
Ken.
Welcome,
hey,
Ken.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be here.
We love you from Australia to call in.
That's right. Say hi to Gary, Ken.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Gary. Hi.
Hey, Ken.
And Chris, yep, hi.
So, Ken, for those people who haven't known, tell your story. You got a story. Tell a story.
And I said Melbourne, Ken, not Listen Melbourne. To this. Melbourne.
Very cool. Very good. Cool.
All right. Okay. Yeah, tell us about
So my situation is I've had sort of a roller coaster of vision. It's gone up and down and up and down. I was legally blind for many years. I've had 6 different eye operations. I'm currently not legally blind, but very, very, very nearsighted and also slightly crossed eyes. The tighter I am, the more crossed. So I feel very lucky with the vision I have and to be able to see it all and very thankful to all the doctors and nurses and advances in medical science and surgery and technology and everything else. So I'm in a good place with all of that. I wrote a book, as just mentioned, Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight. It's an adventure humor filled memoir that talks about some different adventures and some different also advantages of poor eyesight. I think good eyesight, haven't had a lot of ups and downs. Good eyesight is definitely better than poor eyesight. I'm not arguing against that at all. But I think it's fun and worthwhile to celebrate and understand some of the advantages of poor eyesight. So that's what the book is about, adventures and advantages. And I thought there's maybe two sort of adventure-related things I might tell your audience about this time. One, I don't think we've ever spoken about on this show, and one we talked about a long time ago, so I thought maybe it's worth recapping.
Please recap it.
Okay. First, the new one, though. Let's talk about horseback riding. I think for people with poor vision, riding a horse is very interesting. One of the things that you don't really think about that much if you have regular vision is it's great that the horse can see and hopefully see well. So you've actually not just got you as the rider paying attention, but the horse is actually paying attention, which is tremendous. So you don't have to worry as much about running into something. And, you know, you can still jump over ditches and obstacles and things like that. You know, you don't have to pick them all up right away. I worked for a while on a ranch in Montana. My cousins had a beef cattle ranch, and some of the time we would be herding cattle. And it's just as exciting as in the movies and TV when you herd. You know, you're going along, there's tons of cattle, and it's all dusty, and they're all over the place, and you're going along. And what happens is, they never explained it, or at least I've never seen an explanation of this, but when you do it, you find out. So the cattle move along, they're going very slowly, and you know, cattle aren't that smart. They have one idea, which is basically, oh, well, the last place I ate a little bit of grass, that was a good place. I want to go back there. So one by one, every cow in the herd turns around and starts jogging back towards where it last ate some grass. So when you're herding cattle, what you have to do is then follow the cow on your horse, you gallop, and you gallop hard, and you gallop right next to the cow, really, really close, and you get just an inch away, and you turn really, really quickly in front of the cow. So it turns, and then you try to keep it galloping as much as possible back into the herd. And you do that all day for several days. That just happens with every cow. So it's part of the fun of what's going on. Now, what happened with me was twice this happened to me. You have to make sure your saddle is actually tightly buckled to the horse. It's called cinched. If it's not, then you go flying off the horse, which happened to me twice. You know, you turn, everything's going really well, except then all of a sudden your saddle slips and you're flying off the horse the wrong way. So that's, you know, it's a little embarrassing and you fall off the horse and, you know, you have to get back up. But after I did it the first time and the second time, they told me, well, you know, you really can't be a cowboy until you've fallen off your horse three times. So I don't know whether they were being nice or pulling my leg because I was from the East or what. But anyway, so I did that twice. And then I had a much, much more exciting thing happen where after one of the cattle drives, coming back, and two of my cousins and a ranch hand and I, and the ranch hand and one of my cousins was older, and they gave us their horses and said, you guys take care of our horses. We're going to go get a beer or something, whatever they were going to do. So, all right, so our job was to take their horses and our horses back. So we're doing that. We're on our way. And then my cousin, who is my age, says, well, you know, I've got to go do something. I'll meet you there. So she goes off and does something. So I'm there by myself with my horse, and I've got this other horse. My horse, I have the reins in my right hand. The other horse, I have the reins in my left hand. So I thought, well, I'm not just going to walk. It's much, much more fun to gallop. So I start galloping. But I never tried this before while I was leading another horse. So my horse, of course, goes very quickly. The other horse is slight delay. So I'm stretched out. So I'm on my horse leaning slightly backwards, and my left hand is way out, and it's holding the reins from the other horse, trying to get it to hurry up and come along. That was working fine, and it's really fun to gallop. So then I realize, uh-oh, wait a minute. My saddle is starting to slip. And I realize, uh-oh, I can't just stop because I've got so much slack in my horse's reins and my right hand, and I can't use my left hand because it's stretched all the way out holding onto this other horse. And I've been told, no matter what, never, ever let go of the reins of your horse. So I don't want to do that, but I've got to do something. So I start throwing the reins of my right hand up in the air just a tiny bit and catching them farther along. So I'm working my way towards the point where I'll be able to rein in my own horse. But in the meantime, we're still galloping along, and my saddle is slowly slipping, right? So this is going on, and I'm thinking, all right, this is pretty exciting. And then all of a sudden, my saddle completely slips. So I fall. I do not let go of either reins, right? So briefly, and this is a dirt road with a bunch of rocks on it, I'm pulled along by two galloping horses. I'm in between them. And the road is sort of dirt and rocky. And they stop fairly quickly because, of course, they don't like being dragging anybody by the reins. But it was enough of a way. And I was pretty happy that they stopped. And then after a while, my younger cousin saw what happened and came galloping up and goes, are you okay? And by then I stood up, and I was, pretty much to my surprise, perfectly okay. I had a big bruise on my chest, but aside from that, it was okay. And it just goes to show, you know, you need to cinch or tighten your saddle a little more than I had been doing. But I did manage to fall off my horse three times, so I was very, very unofficially a cowboy, even though all the real cowboys were.
And that's a very interesting story. Very interesting. Yeah. And I like the way you told it. I like the way you told it. Gary, any questions? I know that you rode a horse before, Gary.
I got a suggestion for him. I'm sure he knows. Ken, you know, when you cinch up the horse, they blowed up on purpose. And then so you wait a second after you cinch it good. You let them take a breath, and as they exhale, now you get it and pull it up one more time, and the saddle stays on pretty good then.
That makes complete sense. I think I was newer to the whole thing than those horses were.
When I owned a horse, and I did own a horse, the horse was on a farm outside of Philadelphia, and I owned the horse. I used to pay the farmer for let my horse stay there. But guess what? One of his kids always saddled the horse. I never did. Never knew how to this day. And in those days, I was sighted.
You ever went on the horse?
I went on the horse all the time, but I never saddled them.
Oh, okay.
I went on the horse all the time, but I never saddled them.
Yeah, I like to do all the parts. You know, the more I can get involved, I think is the more fun. But it is good, and it's good the horse can see where it's going really well. So all of that's a good thing.
You know, there's one more thing about a horse that's pretty smart about them is they can be out. You, if something happens and you get off the horse and you fall down, they take off. They take off back to where they started from.
Yeah, unless you're holding on to the reins no matter what.
Right, exactly. So go back home.
Well, I could tell you a horse is a horse, of course, of course.
Mr. Ed. He goes back to Mr. Ed.
Hey, Ken?
Yes.
Did you ever hear of Mr. Ed, the talking horse? Did you ever get that show?
A very, very long time ago. When I was a kid, I think I saw that show.
Well, you know how they get him to look like he's talking? They put peanut butter on his lips. That's how it made him look like he was talking.
Wayward.
So Ken.
Yep.
So the way you were doing, telling us a story, and we enjoyed it. Is that how you tell your stories in the book?
it is, you know, and I try to tell them in the book, I tried to write them as I would actually talk to people about them and tell them the story over coffee or beers or whatever. As I was writing the book, I actually read it out loud a bunch of times to try to make it the right wording and the right emphasis. And then, of course, after writing the book, then I narrated it so you can listen to the audiobook and hear it the same way.
Well, one thing, you have a very easy voice to listen to as you tell the stories.
No, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you. So wait, I think I should tell one other story if you have time, which is one I told a couple of years ago when I was first a guest ever on your show, and you seem to like it a lot, but it's been a long time, and many of your audience members might have missed that show.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's when I was in college, in university, I and a couple of friends, we decided we should go learn how to parachute. And for me, the reason was, you know, I like going fast, but jogging and running, that's okay for me. But riding a bicycle is in some ways too fast. I can easily ride a bike faster than I can see some of the potholes and dips coming up. So I have to be really careful. And I don't see nearly as well as you need to see to get a driver's license. You know, that's way, way, way beyond my eyesight. And it's very good I can't get a driver's license. There'd be a lot of dead people all over the place if I was driving around. So I thought, all right, parachuting, you know, you go really fast and you're just in the air, you know, it could be really fun. So we go, and it was three of us friends, and we go to Downsville, Maryland. That was literally the name of the place where we learned parachuting, Downsville, Maryland. And it's us and maybe 30, 40 other people, and we're all taking skydiving lessons. And this was actual learning how to do it yourself. We were not going to be strapped to somebody else. We were going to have our own parachute by ourselves. We were going to jump out of the plane. We were going to figure out how to steer the parachute and go where we're going. We were going to land by ourselves. Now, there was no tandem connection with anybody else. So we go through all the training, which was really fun. They tell you all kinds of essential things. You practice jumping off of boxes, some short, and then up to maybe 6 feet tall. So you get good at the landing and you know how to land, which is actually a potentially useful skill if you're ever in a place where there's a fire and you have to jump out of the second or third floor window. Yeah, you might hurt yourself, but you're going to do much better than if you hadn't learned how to land from parachuting. So that's one takeaway that was really nice. So we go and we get in the plane, the first parachuting jump, right? And it's this little tiny plane. It's a little plane that only holds the pilot, who has a seat, and everybody else, the other three or four people, are sitting on the floor. And that's all there's room for. We take up a lot of space because you have your parachute on your back, you have your back parachute on your front. We go in through the door to get on the plane, and you can't help but notice that, wait a minute, there's a space to this door, but there's no actual door. It's just an opening. So the whole side of the plane is just this opening. And it turns out I was sitting right next to that opening. So I'm inches away from the opening as the little plane takes off and we fly to where we're going to jump out of the plane. I was all prepared for thinking about jumping out of the plane, but I was definitely not prepared for, you know, worrying about falling out of the plane on the way, you know. And so, you know, anyway, no problem, we make it. We're up there, it's my turn. So this was not like I've ever seen in movies or TV. It's not like we stood at the doorway and jumped out. Instead, it's a little tiny plane. We have to crawl out the opening and work your way in between the wheel and the wing. So the wing is above you, and you're holding on to this metal bar called a strut underneath the wing. You're holding on for dear life because you're now outside the plane. And your feet are on this other metal bar, another strut, over the wheel. So you're now outside the plane. The engine is roaring. The plane is flying, and you're outside. It's very exciting. And so you're hanging on for dear life. You can't hear anything because it's so noisy between the wind and the engine. You see the instructor go, ha, ha, ha. You know, he's saying something. Who knows what he's saying? But you know he's probably saying jump. What else would he say? So you after holding on for dear life, you jump backwards and up, and you start going down like a rocket. You know, you're just falling. Now, I forgot to mention, your first three jumps, you do not pull your own ripcord. You're attached by a line to the plane, which is really good because you're thinking about a lot of different things, and it's a good safety idea for the first three jumps. So anyway, I jump, falling like a rock. I'm watching the plane, and the plane is flying. It's far, far, far away and getting farther away. And I'm thinking, you know, my parachute has not opened yet. And you start thinking about, do I need to open the backup parachute? How long do I need to wait? You know, I'm really falling a lot, and I'm going fast, which was fun. But you're worried about, all right, is this going to – what's going to happen here? So finally, my parachute opens. And I go, wow. And I'm telling you, when your parachute opens, that's one of the best feelings you've ever had in your life, when your parachute opens. Like, oh, yes, this is great. So then
– Wait, one second. I just want to tell you, I'm listening to you. I'm nervous. I'm sweating. You're telling a story, and I'm sweating here. There's no way you get me up there. No way. Even if I can see them go up.
Well, I'm not trying to talk you into it, but I do – recommended. It's really fun. So then I'm in the air, and now I'm really happy because the parachute's open, and now I'm ready to steer it in the right direction. And I realize that something I should definitely have thought of before I started doing this was, you know, am I actually going to be able to see the place that I am supposed to land in? And I'm looking around, and I'm going, geez, I don't know. But I did it by deduction. So it was off in an area with lots of farms, and every place looked like a green field with farmland and stuff growing, you know, or a highway. And so I said, all right, there's one exception to this entire picture, which was this brown dirt spot. I said, all right, I bet that's it. That must be like where the airport is and where we started. So I aim for that because they taught us how to steer the parachutes. And I get closer and closer and closer. And then after a while, I see, oh, wait, yeah, there's a little plane and there's a circle of people. And I thought, all right, perfect. So I get much closer and I aim for the circle of people, because inside the circle of people, in the middle of it would be, I couldn't see it yet, but would be a frisbee-sized target. So that's what happens in parachuting. You aim for this frisbee-sized thing that's on the ground. So I get much, much, much closer, and then eventually I could see it. I aim for it. I came pretty close. I didn't hit it, but I came really close. And then it was time where you get to choose, do you want to parachute again? So the vast majority of people, it was one and out. They were done. They'd done it. They knocked it off their bucket list. But there were other people like me that said, this is the most fun thing I've ever done. This is great. I want to do it again. Yep. So you get your choice of, you can use a parachute for your second jump that somebody's packed, you know, who knows what they're doing. And, or you could pack your own parachute for the second jump. So I said, well, I definitely want to, if I'm taking my life in my hands, I want to do all the parts. I want to learn about this. So they told me how to pack my parachute. So I go off to do that. And you spread it out in the field. And then you fold it up a certain way. Unless it's really windy, which it was that day, in which case you have to take rocks and put it on the parachute to keep it in the right shape. And then as you fold it, you throw all the rocks out. So that's what I did, and I'm all ready to go. So then I have a second jump. So the same exact thing. You go up on the little plane, and I was once again right next to the door, which I I still found a little more exciting than I wanted. And then it was my turn to go out. So the same thing, you get out on the wing, you jump, you are super happy when your parachute opens, but then a different thing happens. Bam, 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 bam. All these rocks, not big, but, you know, small and medium-sized rocks are falling out of the parachute and landing on my head and shoulders. And it was like, holy cow, I had missed hundreds of rocks, it seemed like. You know, at least dozens, maybe hundreds. I don't know how many. And then luckily, when you parachute, you wear a motorcycle helmet. So it didn't hurt at all, but it was pretty surprising.
Great story. Better you than me. Better you than me. I couldn't do it.
Then I looked down because I'm thinking, all right, if somebody's below me, you know, these rocks are not going to be comfortable because they're coming from pretty high up. I couldn't see anybody below me, and I never heard any complaints or stories about it. So I didn't mention it to anybody, and nobody brought it up. So that was good. Then I landed and then I did it a third time, and I did way, way better. You know, basically no rocks fell on me. So that was a big accomplishment in my
life. We have to wrap it up. So tell the folks, how do you get your book?
Wait, I got a caller on the phone line who wants to get in.
One thing very quickly is my eye doctor said, don't ever do it again because you could get a detached retina, a second detached retina in each eye. I'd already had one and go blind. So I had to give up. I was the captain of my parachuting team. I had to stop. My book, Positive Vision, Enjoying the Adventures and Advantages of Poor Eyesight, is available everywhere online. So any place that sells books, ebooks, or audiobooks, you can get it there. Or at your local bookstore, if you go and ask for it, they can order it for you.
We have someone on the line would like to talk to, I believe. Someone on the line, Chris?
Yes, I got Peter from the Clearwater area on the phone line. I think it's not Pearl. I want to say Pearl Harbor. I get it mixed up. Peter, are you there?
Yeah, Pearl Harbor's in Hawaii.
Right.
I'm in Palm Harbor.
Palm Harbor.
Now I'll never
Peter's
forget
from
the
Palm
name of
Harbor,
Lighthouse.
Florida. Peter, you're on the line. Peter, you're on the show. Talk.
Okay. Well, I've got a great follow-up to this story, and this is a true story. I lost my vision in the fall of 1983, and it was gradual. It was from encephalitis. Anyway, and my family and the friends of we would have these routine things we did every year, a Memorial Day party, a Christmas grab bag. And we had, coming up in the spring, the Father's Day softball game. Now, the Father's Day softball game was the adults against the kids. And it was just a thing we did every year. So here it was, Father's Day. And I could imagine them talking. It's like, you know, they must have been talking amongst each other. Is Peter okay? Is he okay? Is he depressed? Whatever. And so this is my great opportunity to show up at the Father's Day softball game and let them know I'm okay. Anyway, so I'm standing there, of course, with the kids, and it was the opportunity was perfect because kids were behind. It was the bottom of the ninth, okay? And I went to the plate to bat, and right away the pitcher's like, "How are we going to do this?" You know, Peter's here when he's, and I said,
Peter, we got 30 seconds of a break.
Huh?
We got 30 seconds to go to break.
Okay.
Finish it up. Thank you.
I said, just let me throw the ball in the air until I hit it. And they agreed. And so I swung, I missed. And then the outfield had come in, underestimating me. I hit it a grand slam. Kids win the game. The blind Peter is back in action. And I just blew them away. It was like, don't underestimate me. Just because I'm blind, I can still hit a grand slam.
Thank you so much, Peter, for that story. Thank
it's
you, Peter.
It's been jumping out of a
Peter.
Plane. But
thank you, Ken, for coming on the show. We'll have to have you back, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
We're going on a break.
Thank you.
We're going to go to break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You listen to the Blind and Beyond radio show. Don't go away, but we'll be right back.
La, 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 la. This is Charles. We did a show out at the museum in Winter Park. There was the cutest little girl, I'm told, totally blind, 6 years old. Lighthouse of Central Florida can help your blind babies, can help your blind children. They have mentors on staff to work with your children, your babies, your teens, your young adults. They teach them how to interact with others, how to play. They teach them financial abilities. They teach them and prepare them for college. They teach your young adults and prepare them for jobs in the future. So Lighthouse Central Florida is the place to go for all of your needs, as babies, children, young adults, and even senior citizens can find help, assistance, guidance, and education. Call the Lighthouse at phone number 407-898-2483. Call 407-898-2483.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is committed to finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases.
The 37th Annual CSUN Assistive Technology Conference, hosted by the California State University North Ridges Center on Disabilities, will be back in person in 2022. Join us at the Premier Forum on Technology and Persons with Disabilities, March 14th through the 18th at the Anaheim Marriott in California. Don't miss out on the ultimate community experience with numerous educational sessions, special featured presentations, interactive pre-conference workshops, and more. Our large exhibit hall, open March 16th through the 18th, is free to the public and filled with companies offering products and services designed to promote inclusion for people with disabilities. For more information and registration details, visit our website at csun.at/conference.
Are you interested in becoming a customer care professional in a commercial contact center setting? Our friends at Lighthouse Works are currently hiring call center agents. You could be eligible for full benefits and paid training. Find out more at lighthouseworks.org/careers.
Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together we're fighting. Together we're winning.
We're driving the research to find the cures for blinding retinal diseases.
Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Whenever you talk to our sponsors, don't forget to mention that you heard it on the Blind and Beyond radio show.
Live from the Spectrum Power Studios.
We're back. Oh, yeah, we're definitely back. This is the Blind and Beyond radio show. This is your host, Michael. The phone number to call in is 407-894-1680. Gary, it's you're up, and it's trivia time. Trivia time. Trivia time. Gary, it's trivia time. It's you're up. You're up.
Okay, it's true time. As you know, we have been doing the Blind and Beyond radio show for quite a few years now. And my question, the trivia question tonight is, how long has the Blind and Beyond radio show been on today? How many years? And what, if not that, what year would we be going into a broadcasting the Blind and Beyond radio show?
So the question you're saying is, how many years have we been on the air? And what year are we going into?
We've been on the air right now, and what year are we going into?
Up to now, how many years we've been on, and what year are we going into? That's your question, Gary, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, 407-894-1680. It's trivia time. Call in now. Lines are wide open. 407-894-1680. Call in. So that's that story. So we got a few minutes before we go to the next break, top of the hour. So let's see who calls in.
That was some good stories there, Michael.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm not ready to jump. I was, you know what? When I was sighted, I went up to the Empire State Building. But you know what? I looked out. That was enough. I couldn't get close to the edge.
But I wasn't
afraid of height. Always.
He got off there quicker, and I was trying to get him. What do you think of as soon as before you hit the ground? What would you do, Michael? Just what? Before it hits the ground, what would you be doing? Tuck and roll. That's how you don't get hurt so bad.
Yeah.
As soon as you hit, your feet hit the ground, you tuck, and then you start rolling. That way you don't break legs or arms or whatever, hopefully.
I wouldn't be out to worry about what would happen before I touched the ground, because I wouldn't be getting off the plane in the first place.
Yeah, you'd have had a heart attack before you hit the ground.
No, I wouldn't go up. I wouldn't put myself in that position.
I thought about it once, so I didn't do it. I wanted to go tandem. That's where, you know what tandem jumping is, Michael?
No, but I'll tell you something. I'm thinking about something. When I could see years ago, Lynn and I and the kids went to Hawaii. And remember, we went into a small plane.
Yeah, you told.
That was Hawaiian Air.
And
that was.
And the plane that we were on, I don't remember.
Years later. No,
it wasn't years. It was
a couple years.
Crash.
The whole side of the plane roof fell off of something.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
All right.
Yeah, that's the plane that we were on. Island hopping.
Yeah. Any calls for the trivia?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
We're going to take a trip to the Big Apple. That's right, Big Apple. They call it the big state of New York. And we got the one
New
and
York,
only Linda on the phone. Linda, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hi, Linda.
Hi,
Linda's
how are you?
Calling from New York City.
Hi.
We're fine.
How are you?
I'm okay.
How are you doing? Thank God.
Appreciate
you
listening
in
New York City, New York. Nice and cold up there? Okay.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's like 29 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
We had that last week.
Yeah, we had that cold
enough. We hit 30 last week.
Are you calling in for trivia? Okay, so what do you think the answer is?
Well, I don't really know, but I thought it was 7 years.
Right answer?
No, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, Gary said, what year are we going into?
How many years have we been doing it?
How long have we been on the air?
Seventh
year. Yes, I said that.
You're going into your seventh year?
That's correct.
No,
that's correct.
That was correct. Yeah.
How long have we been on the air?
Yeah, how long have we been on it?
For 6 years.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Very good.
You are a winner.
You are a winner.
Wow.
Did your homework.
So
we're on the air
that's
6 years
excited.
Going on to the
this
seventh year.
Seven.
You just won yourself
absolutely.
A Subway. $10 gift card from Subway.
Nice.
Congratulations,
nice.
Subway.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you.
That's a good thing.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Linda, don't hang up, all right? I need to get some information from you.
Sure, thank you.
We've been on the air 6 years. Going to our seventh year, April, first week in April, we'll be on the air 7 years.
Yep.
7 years.
Yep.
We've been on the air 6 years.
Matter of fact, I pulled the first show clock, and I have it here for our anniversary.
We're going to play it for our extra show, the first couple minutes.
I have my clock.
Yeah. We'll play the first show. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Gary, how long have you been on with us total, Gary?
Yeah, Gary. How long
have
you been on?
I've been on the air started in 2012.
Right.
Right.
Do you remember?
2012 with Brian and Leon.
What? Martin? What was the name?
Blind and Beyond.
Blind Matters.
I'm so used to say Blind and Beyond now for so many years.
Yeah,
you know?
I would have.
Blind Matters.
I could have told you that.
I still have a T-shirt I got.
I dug out a T-shirt
with Blind Matters on it.
Chris, are you trying to get through?
Yeah, I was just saying, I could have told Gary that it was Blind Matters first. I know that, Gary.
Yeah, I know that.
Gary, you flunked.
Right.
Flunked, Gary. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Those were the days, right, Gary?
Oh, those are good days. And we met the first time at the Green Parrot, wasn't it?
Oh, we're going to break. Don't go away. We're right back with the Blind and Beyond Radio Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.